in his presentation, or his coronation, if you call it, in chapter 12. Let's look at chapter 12 of 1 Samuel. Verse 1, Samuel said to all Israel, indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said, and have made a king over you. Right. So, that's what he wants us to proclaim. But chapter 10, after his anointing, chapter 10, verse 17. Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all kingdoms and from those who oppress you. But you have today rejected your God and you wanted a king over you. And Samuel, in verse 20, caused all the tribes of Israel to come before him. And then in verse 21, this is an interesting part. When he caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by the families, the family of Matri was chosen, and Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Remember, he's one of the most handsome men in the whole country. He's a tall man, well-built, good-looking, nice. And when they were about to present him to everyone, they look around at every tall fellow they can. They cannot find him. Where is he? They ask. Where is this Saul, the son of Kish? And then somebody shouted out from way out in the corner. In verse 22, they inquire of the Lord, has a man come here yet? They ask the Lord. The Lord says, he's hidden among the equipment. He's hiding. They want to make him king, present him, and he's hiding. Was he shy? Maybe. Was he being humble? No way. It is what I call false humility. So I hope by this moment, it will have broken down your concept of what humility is. It's not like the world thinks. Humility, number one, is just being what God says you are. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more is important, but the nothing less is also important. Because you should not see yourself as less than what God sees you. You say, why? Because if you do so, you cannot fight the enemy. The devil comes to you and says, you are no good. You say, yeah, I'm no good. You're bad. Yes, I'm bad. How can you fight the devil? How can God use you? He could send anybody to do that and you'll be powerless. Humility is agreeing with God 100% and disagreeing with the devil all the time. Everything the devil says, you are going to be poor, wretched, ugliest thing in the world. You say, nay, nay, nay. Because you disagree with everything the devil says. And you have to agree with everything God says, even though your mind may not comprehend it yet. So humility is being who God says you are, nothing more, nothing less. So when God says, I have made you in my image, and you say, no, God, I'm not in your image, you're gone. That's not being humble. That's disagreeing with God. And the devil will come after you easily, and human beings will come after you, and the gift of God in your life can never rise up. Let's look at a different man opposite from Saul. His name is David, whom the Bible says is a man after God's heart. And let's see David in 1 Samuel. He was sent to bring some lunch to his brothers. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17, Israel was at war. And Saul was leading all the army. In chapter 17 verse 2, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and encamped in the valley of Elath and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. The Philistines stood on a mountain and Israel stood on a mountain, and then in verse 4, a champion, his name is Goliath, went out from the camp of the Philistines from Gath, and his height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. I mean, he was a huge, big man. In verse 7, the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. That's huge. It's just like one of the pillars in a house. His spear. The weave of the spear's handle. And every day he would come and torment the Israelites in verse 8. And this is his cry. Why have you come out of time up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, you shall be our servants and servers. And he says, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Every day he did that. And all the Israelites in verse 11, the Bible says, the last two words, were greatly afraid. They were all afraid, frightened to their wits. And then comes David to the scene, carrying lunch. And as he carried, he was the youngest, and as he carried lunch to his brothers, the Philistine by that time had presented himself 40 days and 40 nights. And all the Israelite fighting men, their morale was low. Everyone was frightened. And in verse 24, here's an expression, it says, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man fled from him, were dreadfully afraid. They were not just afraid now, they were frightened out of their wits. Dreadfully afraid. And the Bible tells us, here comes David. And when David came and he heard the commotion, David asked a question in verse 26. What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is an uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? The people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now David keep asking, who is this man? How can he defy us? We are the people of God. We are the armies of God. Who is this man? What will be done to the man who killed him? What is his reward? And he went around talking like that. And his eldest brother come and accused him of pride. Look at verse 28. Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David and said, why did you come down here? I mean, he came down to bring lunch. Mom sent lunch. And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Hey, this was all accusation. His father asked him to come. His mother asked him to come. Look at verse 28. Look at how the world can misjudge people. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come here to watch the fighting, the battle. Look at it. He is accusing David of things that David doesn't have. Because the Bible says David was a man after God's heart. And you and I know God will never love the proud. God doesn't love proud people. God looks down at David and says, oh, this guy is a delight to me. I love his heart. He loves me. He is humble. He don't mind taking care of sheep. But Eliab says, you are proud, stubborn, insolent in your heart. See, the world has a different picture of humility. David doesn't look humble. When you're facing the devil, you don't bring your humble garments. You bring your godly armor. You wear the right armor for the right job. Does any one of you, when you go to sleep at night, put on your best three-piece suit? Comb your hair. Because most of us comb our hair before we sleep, right? Sometimes my wife asks me after evening bath, why are you combing your hair? You're about to sleep. Say, well, I want to make sure I see myself well in my dreams, right? No, it's just joking. None of us wear three-piece suit, put on your best shoes, then you get under the covers of your bed on a nice cold winter's night with your warm, cozy bed, and you sleep. None of us do that. When you sleep, you wear loose clothing, you wear your pajamas, or whatever you wear, or don't wear, to sleep. So you want to be comfortable. So you wouldn't mix things up. You wouldn't go to sleep wearing your three-piece suit and go to office wearing your best pajamas. That would be wrong. In the same way, when you're faced with the devil and his cohorts, that's not the time to put on the garment of humility. Yes. Yes, Mr. Devil. Oh, yes. That's a wrong thing. You should be putting on your garment of praise and worship and your armor of God, and the devil challenges you. You say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, get thee behind me. But then when you face God, you should be, oh, yes, God. Yes, God. See, we must put on the right garment at the right place. You know, some of us, we mix things up. Say, how do you mix things up? This is what people do. Before the devil and all that, they say, oh yes, oh yes. And before God, you say, God, why did you do this to me? Something is wrong somewhere. They're wearing their pajamas for work. Before God, we should be clothed with humility. See, God is concerned about humbling ourselves before Him. And so here we have David, who's being accused of pride. And we know he doesn't have it because the Bible tells us he doesn't have it. But when you judge him from the outside, I mean, look, he's, come on, say it. He's, say it. He's boasting. Aha, now you got it. But he was boasting of the Lord. Point number one in true biblical humility, you are who God says you are. Nothing more. Nothing less. But point number two, humility is full confidence in God, not in yourselves, not in people. And that's why it's such a contrast in point number two. When you're confident of God, you speak differently. You may sound proud to the world because you're confident about God. So humility is very strange. It is a confidence you develop in God. Remember last week we talked about God justifying the humble by faith. Because humility is not taking things into your own hand. So somebody whack you, you whack the person back. Somebody punch you, you punch back. And that's not humility. Humility is allowing God to be the one who bring vengeance for you. For vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So definitely, if you take things into your own hand, then it's not being humble. Humility is surrendering your rights to God.